Well, welcome back to The Download here on WGN Radio. I'm Justin Kaufman. Fruit Bats is coming to Chicago this weekend for the Dew Division Street Festival. Fruit Bats is the music of Eric D. Johnson, who's a singer-songwriter. He formed Fruit Bats back in the late 90s when he was an instructor at the Old Town School of Folk Music right here in Chicago. He now resides in Portland. Johnson's been involved in several music projects, including his stint with the band The Shins, but he's back recording music as the Fruit Bats. He has a new album out called Absolute Loser, which is getting rave reviews, and he's my guest on The Download tonight. Eric, thanks for joining us. We appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
So what's it mean to get back to Chicago? I mean, what, you know, being here, being such a part of the scene that was that you were a part of in the late 90s, what's it mean to be back here to do this street festival?
It's still home in many ways. You know, like a lot of family here still, and it really still feels like home. I was actually just saying today I wish Chicago wasn't the most expensive Midwest city, because all my friends from Kansas City and St. Louis are like, I bought a brownstone or something, and they live on the West Coast, and they have their Midwest place, and I'm like, I'm from the expensive one of all of those. But it's still home, and it's still, like, when I play, it still definitely feels like home. And also just kind of cool to play a street festival, because I grew up going to those. I feel like I saw stumbled into so many great shows in that way over the years, because it's like, you know, I lived in every neighborhood you could live in here, and you know, everyone has one. I feel like they've gotten better too as the music's gotten better. Usually you would just stumble on some weird cover band, and it was
right.
Still great, but
yeah.
but the Dew Division thing, I was like, oh wow, this is like pretty good curation. So,
well, I mean, you've gone to street festivals, and street festivals are not just a Chicago thing, but Chicago is a big part of it because it's a city of neighborhoods. Talk about performing at one. What do you have to do differently as a musician playing in front of a crowd at a street festival?
I mean, I think normally we do our own headline shows. It's like an hour and a half, hour and 40-minute set to people who paid $20 to see us and to hear the songs they want to hear, kind of thing. And you can kind of like let that flow. I think with the street, really any festival, you got to kind of do the all killer, no filler set, which is nice. You have 40 minutes to do it, you know, so you really just pare it down to the stuff that you think is going to connect, because it's probably going to be half strangers in the audience that maybe don't know who you are.
So let's talk about, I mean, your time. I mean, you've been several different projects, as I mentioned, when you were here in Chicago, from the earliest iRobot stuff to Fruit Bat. Talk about what Chicago, what role Chicago played in making you a musician. I mean, now you had a lot of success with the Shins and with Fruit Bats on the West Coast. But talk about what it was about coming up in Chicago that formed you.
It was weird. I mean, it was an interesting time, for one thing, because it was the heavy, as far as the indie scene in Chicago went at the time, it was all about post-rock. It was all, you know, Tortoise, and every band had two bass players and a vibraphone player, and everybody was good. Everyone went to Oberlin, you know, and was like a really good player, and I was this singer-songwriter guy. I was working at the Old Town, which, like, it wasn't like that cool at the time, you know, to work there or whatever. It was very folky and a little older. I was definitely like at the time the young guy there. So it was weird, but I felt I had my little world, but it took a little while to find it. And that was, I ended up joining the band Caliphone for a while, who were a little bit older than me, and had sort of been more entrenched with their old band Red Red Meat. And so we're very like entrenched in the Chicago world. So I kind of got, and they were very respected already and kind of veterans. So I went from kind of being very unambitious and had barely played any shows to kind of being in this band that was very well respected and went on tour and were really like a part of the world. So I owe those guys a lot. That was sort of my real introduction to the greater Chicago world, was like kind of, they sort of, I guess you could say they plucked me out of obscurity a little bit.
Well, and, you're past that now. I mean, obviously, with the new record getting rave reviews from all sorts of places, Absolute Loser seems to be, you know, a real turning point for you. But talk about, I mean, you've vacillated back and forth between sort of recording and being known as Fruit Bats and being known as yourself, Eric D. Johnson. You kind of have gone back and forth. Why back to Fruit Bats?
I think I was kind of trying to do a solo thing. I thought that it would be, I've been doing some film scores and producing other records and trying to do the maturing guy thing, you know, and be like, I'm going to be myself and whatever. But I realized really quickly that just the words Fruit Bat, for whatever reason, were my identity. It was really like when I tried to go out and do solo stuff, even though ostensibly it was like the same thing and the same catalog. This is really the short answer, basically, was that I had to put Fruit Bat in parentheses every time anyway. And I was like, well, why don't I just go back to do that? It was a little bit of an experiment. It was just kind of a learning experience of like, and I think that's the way things work nowadays too, is it's the time of Google, you know, or Googleability, and just that kind of stuff matters more now than it used to. People didn't really follow me. And you need that thing to grasp onto. And I was like, well, I can either fade into obscurity or change two words back and do well again. And it worked. It really worked. So which I'm glad of.
Well, the record Absolute Loser is pretty personal. It's, you know, don't let the title fool you. There's upbeat songs. I mean, the music is very mature, especially the mix and the production of it is just tremendous, and the instrumentation, all that, the arrangement. But talk about where the record comes from, because it is very personal to you, and it sort of is a departure, if you will, from some of the other music you've produced.
Yeah, I mean, in a way, it was like the EDJ record was a little bit like based around some turmoil and tragedy in my life, and that was the very personal. It was, you know, it was sort of my first foray into really doing something that was less impressionistic and was very confessional, I guess. And that was sort of I think it was well received, but it just wasn't received. Not a lot of people heard it. This Fruit Bats record is a lot about the sort of story behind that tragedy, but also the act of making that record too. It's a little bit, it's very much like about myself and kind of reacting to, it's a record about making a record, I guess. Mm-hmm. Very meta. It's a record about making a sad record, and writing songs. And, again, it's like, I think that last one sort of set me off into this very personal trajectory. So
as a singer songwriter, I mean, even from your days back here in Chicago, does that come natural for you to be open and to be honest and to be personal, with your songwriting?
Not initially. I'm a pretty guarded person. So I think early on, if you listen to the lyrics, they were pretty, like I said, impressionistic, I guess, is the way to put it. It was maybe about something, but it was generally sort of under a lot of veils of things like that. So it was not in my nature. And I think I got sort of right around that time, I got really obsessed with Joni Mitchell and listening to Blue and stuff. And I was like, wow, I want to do something like that. I want to try to do something like this. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, it took a lot, you know, to actually do that. So this is a new thing for me. And people have really responded well to it, which I think is cool, just that people are perceptive about that kind of stuff.
What was the transformation for you? I mean, obviously, was it things in your life, or at what point did you make the realization that, you know, this impressionistic stuff, it can take me this far, but I really need to almost trust my fans and be able to be open in this space?
That's it. It's just maturing and just living life and going through things a little bit more. And I think it's, you know, it wasn't, I wouldn't say there's a necessarily a single turning point or something like that, but yeah, where you're just like, you know, I can kind of keep doing this. And you I think most writers, you know, maybe I will go back and do something deeply metaphorical next time. I mean, most writers, you want to kind of try to change yourself. You don't want to write about the same thing every time. So I think right now I'm just kind of in this personal phase where I'm like, here, I'm going to tell you something about myself.
Yeah. Well, I mean, for you, your music has been well received in indie rock circles. I think KEXP in Seattle has played a lot of your stuff throughout the years. Obviously, you know, being a part of the Shins, one of the really, really well-known band. What is it like for you to be a part of that scene, to be a part of that northwest? I almost want to say northwest side because I'm from Chicago. but up in the Northwest, like being a part of the Seattle, Portland scene, KEXP and the indie rock sort of genesis that comes out of those towns. I mean, it's so rooted in music.
Yeah. I mean, I think that all kind of came from those early days with Caliphone because of the first tour we did was with Modest Mouse. And then also the Shins were, the first tour was 6 weeks with Modest Mouse, and the Shins joined us for two of those six. They were, like, unsigned at the time. And those were the guys, I just made friends with those guys for whatever reason. So the Northwest stuff I fell into in an odd way, and then Sub Pop kind of came out of that. And then I ended up making a record out there and met my wife who lived out there. So I just was, I don't know. I really fell into the Pacific Northwest, and it seems to call to me for some reason. And I always really just liked the nature and the air and everything like that. It's very different from Chicago, obviously, but I'm sort of so those are my two homes. In a lot of ways, it's like two yin and yang kind of things. But, I feel very at home in both places.
Is it hard? Is it hard for you, Eric, and I say this as a fan of your music and as a fan of indie rock, especially Chicagoans. Is it hard to not almost be outside of yourself as a fanboy and be like, Sub Pop Records, The Shins, Caliphone? You know, I mean, these are almost the standard bearer names and record labels of indie rock's time, and you're a part of it. You're the heartbeat of it.
I'm still a fan, and I think most people I know in bands are. You kind of, or at least most cool people, most people I want to know are fans, you know, and most guys in bands. Like, we're all fans of each other, and that's the best part of it, really. Is like, I mean, it's great, and it's great to have anybody who likes you, but it's very cool to be respected by people that you respect so much.
Eric D. Johnson is a singer-songwriter. He goes by Fruit Bats. Fruit Bats will be at Dude Division Street Festival this weekend. The new record is called Absolute Loser, which is getting great reviews. The music is great. Eric, thanks so much for taking some time out to talk to The Download and WGN Radio.
Yeah, thanks for having me.